projects. You know, we take a very different approach to commercial real estate than a lot of other developers. I mean, of course, we're here to make money, right? But for us, it's we're putting the story in the neighborhood first. Nice. And so if it's not a project that's going to push the neighborhood forward or help maintain the culture that's already existing within that neighborhood, we're not interested. So, you know, we would never just go out and build a store to put a check cashing shop in there, right? It's just not what we do. The types of projects that we will take on are very different. You know, I'm sitting in my office right now. Next door is a 6-bay car wash that we converted into 5 micro restaurants and a bar that are 6 small businesses. So like to us, that's really cool and fun.
Welcome to 7 to 8, our special series on 7 to 8 figure entrepreneurs. In this special series, I interview $1 million, some $10 million, and even some $1 million business owners who uncover their twists and turns in their entrepreneurial adventure in order to help you to avoid the potholes and stick to the fast track. Welcome now to Center Stage, our next special guest.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I am super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Tyler. Tyler, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, Michelle, thanks for having me on. Really excited to dive into this with you.
Awesome. So give us a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Yeah, so Tyler Cobble, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a commercial real estate developer here. You might call me just a commercial real estate professional, I'm sure, as we'll dive into here in a bit. I've got a very vertically integrated firm. And that's kind of what got me to where I am today. I started off in commercial real estate back in 2013 as the in-house leasing agent for a boutique development firm here in town. So I got to work on a wide variety of projects. And in February of 2018, started my first company, the Cobble Group, which is our commercial real estate brokerage. That August, I started our commercial property management company, which is Parasol. And then in October of 2020, I started our development firm and actually officialized our buying and developing properties.
You are a man of action. Holy, that's awesome. So it's 5 years to go and start your own. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I always kind of had the entrepreneurial mindset. I started working for my grandfather when I was 12 in the summers doing construction and got into sales when I was 18 and dropped out of college and just knew what I wanted to do. So it's it's been a fun journey.
Very fun. I have to ask, what were you doing in college?
Pretty much nothing. I went to the University
of
Tennessee.
Nothing I am willing to say on a record.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I went to the University of Tennessee for about a year, and it just wasn't for me. You know, I was very fortunate to have a good enough high school education to where I didn't need school. You know, as my grandfather used to say, I didn't go to college, but I knew a lot of people that had to.
I love it. So talk to me about your businesses, because those are pretty specific businesses. And the more you get down into those verticals, I know the more kind of expertise information there is down there. So just kind of give us the broad definitions of like, what is commercial real estate? What does that mean to people that don't know? And then let's go down the rabbit hole.
Absolutely. So commercial real estate is pretty much anywhere that you wouldn't rest your head at night, right? Yourself personally, right? So not your home. It's office, retail, industrial, multifamily, hospitality. I know multifamily and hospitality, technically you could rest your head there if you wanted to, but those are not residential properties. They're basically any real estate that is intended for a business type of use. And so, yeah, my companies are, you know, very different in the way that they operate, but we're all working together in the same industry. So the commercial real estate brokerage does leasing and sales for commercial properties. Our property management company does property management for office, retail, industrial, and multifamily assets. And the development team, we go out and we buy either raw land or existing buildings, and we'll do a ground up development, which we kind of create ourselves and then work with vendors such as engineers, architects, in-house so that we can pull these projects together, or we'll do an adaptive reuse, just renovate the building, fill it with tenants, and then sell it or hold it for the long term.
Nice. And is that specifically in Nashville or are you elsewhere?
Yeah, so we're very specific in where we are in Nashville. We're what I like to call the urban core adjacent. So not quite downtown, but not the suburbs. So the neighborhoods that kind of surround downtown, mostly East Nashville and Madison, which are, you know, neighboring communities. Mm-hmm. And then we do have a couple of assets in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is about 2 hours east of Nashville.
I just like saying Chattanooga.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Right? Give me kind of a little bit of a history of real estate in Nashville, kind of where it's been, what the trends are, what is kind of the normal vibe of real estate there?
Sure. Yeah. So when I was growing up, Nashville was a very small town. You know, it was quiet. Things shut down after 9 or 10 o'clock at night. There wasn't much else to do. And it's kind of wild how much growth it has experienced over the last 10, 15 years. A lot of that has to do with, you know, there's several reasons. One, the culture of Nashville is very unparalleled. It's one of the top three tourism destinations in the United States now. You know, number two, we've got no state income tax. So a lot of businesses and just a business friendly environment. Right. So a lot of these businesses are relocating to the Nashville area. And it's also very strategically located within the country for logistics. So within a day's drive, you can reach about 80% of the population.
Everywhere.
Right. Pretty much everywhere. Nice. That's nice.
That is. And so kind of logistically, are they working on kind of putting through bigger highways in that area? Are they like, what are they looking for in that? I typically wouldn't have thought that it's kind of like a hub for traffic and things like that, but that could be changing. Absolutely.
Sure. So Nashville has a few major highways already mm-hmm. that have undergone some expansions. Nice. You know, I would prefer to not see them expand anymore. I think that they are big enough. We need to focus more on mass transit, doing light rail, bus rapid transit, things like that. Nice. It's growing a lot. They're having to invest quite a bit into the infrastructure within the city because, you know, when I was growing up, you probably had 500,000 people that lived here. And now the MSA is close to 2 million. Wow. So, you know, not that Nashville has specifically quadrupled. The MSA has just gotten so much larger because Nashville is a very spread out area. And mm-hmm. it's become so expensive so fast that people are filling up the surrounding counties as well and commuting to Nashville. And we don't have transit, which is crazy to me. Yeah.
Okay, that is kind of crazy. So, although it is a lot of fun getting around downtown Nashville, but that's a whole different ball of wax.
Oh yeah, that's a different ball game.
So, when it comes to kind of the labor force, how are things down there as far as keeping businesses running and all that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, so, you know, Nashville has had a number of corporate relocations from, nice. You know, Amazon to Oracle and AllianceBernstein, you know, these have brought in a lot of jobs to the city. Nashville typically has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, which is great, but it's also very tough because it makes it a very competitive job market. So, you know, companies that are looking to hire are often having to bring people from out of the city to Nashville to do this. So, you know, you look at those corporate relocations, I mean, they're bringing a lot of people from where they already are, New York, California, wherever, and they're paying pretty well. I mean, those are mostly mm-hmm. six-figure jobs.
Nice. Well, I know that California and New York in particular are looking to get out of their tax brackets, and especially with the virtual workforce, it just doesn't make sense to necessarily force your team to go downtown Manhattan anymore. It's like, well, I don't have 18 million for hours right. to drop. Like it's, so it makes sense. And a lot of people are looking in that area that is becoming more populous. And one of the things I really liked about Nashville, I found, was that it was a variety of population. Like a lot of people said, oh, it's, you know, when you go into that area of the country, it's kind of, you know, one note kind of population. I did not find that at all. I found that people were fantastic, super friendly. There was a lot of things going on for me that I didn't Absolutely. Expect. It was great.
Yeah. It's not a city, that a lot of people have this misconception of the South of like, oh, you know, you guys have running water down there. That's wild. You know, it's not like that at all. You know, I don't have a crazy country accent. Like I grew up here in the South. It's very much a metropolis, but yeah, I like to make the joke, you know, whenever I'm on vacation or something like that, like, yeah, I bought my first pair of shoes to come out here, you know?
There are a lot of misconceptions, which can make it a lot of fun too, but it also makes for great business opportunities. So talk to me about kind of why you decided to develop in that area and why it was fiscally advantageous for you.
Yeah. I mean, being from Nashville, you know, I've always loved the city. Knoxville really helped me understand how great Nashville was when I was there for college. It just didn't do it for me, you know? And so when I moved back here, my family's been from here for generations. It was very easy for me to just say, okay, here's where I'm going to plant my roots. And Nashville's, you know, as I said earlier, it's very business friendly. You know, we've got the Nashville Entrepreneur Center here, which helps incubate entrepreneurial ventures. There is a culture within business here that, you know, people are typically, you know, very readily available to help each other. It's a smaller town than it feels like a smaller town than it is. So it was just very easy to get started. And, you know, again, no state income tax, tough to beat. And I was very fortunate to kind of catch the wave of Nashville taking off. You know, I got into commercial real estate in 2013. Back then, it was very slow. It was a very different market. It was about 2015, 2016 when it started really picking up and gaining traction. And so, you know, it's been fun kind of watching the direction that it's taken since.
Nice. Love it. So in your investment portfolio, are you looking at kind of buy and hold for capital? Are you looking at rental units for cash flow? What kind of strategies are you looking at?
Yeah, it completely depends. You know, a lot of our investors, we raise capital for almost every single deal that we do. Some of them I'll bring, you know, it's either just me and a partner or me and two partners, but most of the time we're raising capital from anywhere from, you know, 10 to 50 people. And it depends on how the deal is structured. Some of our investors want their money back as quickly as possible because they want to take advantage of velocity of capital, throw it into the next deal. Some of our investors would prefer to just be in it for a while. So it really depends on where we're investing. You know, I spend the majority of my time in East Nashville and Madison, and I like to call myself a very lazy investor. If it's not within 10 minutes of my office, I don't want to hold it because I don't want to have to go out of my way to drive by it. So anything that's kind of in those two neighborhoods, I'm planning on holding for as long as I can. So I'll either refinance and buy my investors out, or, you know, they're going to stay in with me for the long haul. Whereas, you know, we've done a couple of deals in Nashville that have been outside those communities, and we have since sold those. So we kind of treat those as more cash plays, whereas the ones closer to home are more of the long-term holds.
Nice. Well, and I love the idea because it's not just having a management company in place, managing and taking care of it when the owner's driving by every day, keeping an eye on things. It's got that extra little level of something going on. And so I'm assuming anybody that has capacity to be able to invest in venture capitalism, if you want to call it that, in the U.S. qualifies. Is that true? Or
for the most part, so we do what's called a 506B syndication. You can do this in real estate. You can do it in business. Basically, it's crowdfunding, but it's a friends and family. So you don't have to be accredited to invest with us, but we do have to have a pre-existing relationship. So I don't like to mess with the SEC. I don't want to find out how angry they can get. So, you know, I'm very cautious about the rules. I know, right? I'm very cautious about that. So everybody that's invested with us, I've either met them in person or we've had a couple of phone conversations. That way I can say, you know, we knew them before they invested with us.
Right. Well, and I think it's just a good idea to go and check out the sights and scenes. Even if you've been somewhere before, it's always good to kind of get a new handle on it. Because things change when a population goes from 500,000 to 2 million. It's like, things have changed around here. You might want to come by and visit again.
Exactly. And you know, we're very fortunate to be in kind of a position where we've been raising capital from investors for, you know, over 5 years now. We know them all really well. And we can just be a little bit pickier about who gets into our deals. You know, I mean, it's very much as they're interviewing us to see if they want to place their capital with us, we're interviewing them to see if we want their capital. Because we've had most of our investors are great, 98, 99%, but there's always a couple that, you know, they're texting you every day or they're, you know, asking for updates because they're not reading the emails that you send out. Yeah, no. Exactly. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, just I'll send an email out every month. Just check that. If you have questions, call me, but come on.
I love you and don't ever do that again.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. So what would you say is your favorite part of your business?
Honestly, just getting to invest in my community and do cool projects. You know, we take a very different approach to commercial real estate than a lot of other developers. I mean, of course, we're here to make money, right? But for us, we're putting the story in the neighborhood first. Nice. And so if it's not a project that's going to push, the neighborhood forward or help maintain the culture that's already existing within that neighborhood, we're not interested. So, you know, we would never just go out and build a store to put a check cashing shop in there, right? It's just not what we do. The types of projects that we will take on are very different. You know, I'm sitting in my office right now. Next door is a 6-bay car wash that we converted into 5 micro restaurants and a bar that are 6 small businesses. So like to us, that's really cool and fun.
Right. That was one of the things I did love about Nashville was down, I think it was, now it's been a while, but down by the river, there, the old buildings and being able to see the character of the old signs in the heritage, and then the repurposing of those buildings. And then not, you know, 5 blocks away, brand new spanking buildings, but they were gorgeous and they fit into kind of the character. You wanted to go beyond downtown and go and experience things and have a little fun with it. And I think that's exactly right. Kind of the responsibility of the developers, which I love that you're part of that heritage and you're keeping up the tradition of like, I want to stay proud of my city.
Yeah, I mean, the built environment impacts everyone's daily lives, whether you think about it or not. It's oftentimes a very subconscious thing. But, you know, if you're driving down a corridor that just has a bunch of older, rundown buildings, they don't really look all that great, you get a certain feel about that area as opposed to, you know, corridors where every developer has been very intentional about what they're delivering. There's sidewalks, there's trees. You just feel better going down those streets. And so, you know, you're right. I mean, we all have responsibilities as developers to keep that in mind.
Love it. So let's back up the bus a little bit. I want to talk to you about kind of starting your business, raising your capital, making your first million doing it. Some of the fun things, surprising things, terrifying things, wherever you want to go with it, I'm good. But
yeah,
what was it like making that first step into business, and how long did it take you to make your first million?
You know, it took me, after I started my business, it took me a couple of years. It wasn't really all that long. And honestly, I think it's because of the business that I had built up on the brokerage side. Nice. You know, when you're a broker for somebody else, it doesn't count towards your balance sheet. Right? None of that revenue matters towards you personally. But when I went off and started my own brokerage and started building a team, that the business suddenly had a value, right? And then, you know, of course, getting into buying real estate, when you're buying properties, right, that has a value, right? There's cash flow, there's equity that's just built up in there. And so, you know, I had gotten into brokerage or my own brokerage in 2018. And back then, everybody was talking about, oh, you know, it's been 7 years, 8 years since we've been on this upswing. There's probably about to be a downturn, you know. So I was just starting to try and hoard cash. I figured, you know, we're going to be in a bad spot and, you know, I've got to prepare for it. Well, that summer, Amazon, Ernst & Young, and gosh, who was it? Maybe AllianceBernstein, all announced massive relocations for, you know, just under 10,000 employees. And so I was like, okay, it's time to go. I mean, it's clearly not going to slow down anytime soon. And I had been helping clients just buy buildings, and we had got under contract on this building. I hadn't bought anything up to this point. And he was under contract on it for 2 or 3 months, ended up not being able to get his financing together. You know, I'm looking at it going, hey, there's an $18,000 commission in this for me. Let me find another buyer. Don't just terminate the contract. So I found another buyer, brought him in, same exact thing. I don't know how it's possible. He couldn't get his financing either. So I said, you know what? Assign it to me and I'll figure it out. Well, I didn't have the cash. So I called two guys that I had known for several years. And I said, hey, this is my first deal, but here's my idea. Here's why I think it'll work. And they both said yes, gave me $100,000 combined. I rolled my commission in as equity into the deal, and we were off to the races. And, you know, just doing that first deal gave me the confidence to do it again. So that year, it was 2019, I bought 3 more office buildings. So we acquired 4 buildings that year. I went from 0 to 4. And that was how I got my net worth to over $1 million and basically under a year, because I hadn't really been doing much before that.
Nice. I love it. Well, and do you still own those properties? Did you flip them? What happened to those ones?
Yeah. So only one of them I still own, actually. It's in East Nashville. The other 3 were outside of the market. So it's probably a pretty good, like, I am true to my word. They were great buildings. They did us very well. But I ended up selling out of them after we kind of stabilized them and increased the value, because I didn't want to have to drive out of my way.
love that. So if you knew then what you know now, is there anything you would have done differently?
I would have started buying buildings sooner. You know, I mean, raising capital is never easy, right? It's always a chore. And buying buildings is not nearly as scary as I thought it was. But, you know, when you first get into it, you're just like, I don't know. I don't know how to do the financing. I don't know what it's like to deal with investors. I don't know, you know, what it's like when I'm the guy, when everything falls on me. But I went through it once. And I was like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. Like, you wake up the next day and everything's still normal. It's just now it's time to do the project.
Nice. I love it. So can you give me an example of a Cinderella story? Might not be the right word. I'm learning this in investing. Everybody's like, they all have money and they all have more money.
Right.
It's not really Cinderella. But give us an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
So in what aspect?
Somebody that maybe was faltering, didn't understand, besides you, understanding kind of the ins and outs of the market or investing per se, or
sure,
whatever, that went, oh my God, this is great. We're going to do this again.
Yeah. So I had a good buddy of mine. We're still partners on several deals today, and we are still looking for more deals. But I got connected to him because he was in East Nashville. He was doing mortgages back then. And he had built up a portfolio of mostly smaller multifamily assets. And I sat down with him and I was like, look, these smaller assets, they're great. I mean, it's better than having nothing, right? Mm-hmm. But if you start investing in triple net properties, here's how you can really, you know, explode your net worth and scale what you're doing. And, you know, I've told people that are in multifamily time and time again, but he actually listened to it. And within a couple of years, he had sold off almost all of his multifamily. He'd started raising capital for triple net investments. And now all he does is manage those assets for his investors. And he travels the country with his family. I can't even remember the last time he was in Nashville, because he literally like loaded his family up on an RV and he just spends time with his kids traveling the country.
That's awesome.
I would say that's pretty good Cinderella story. Yeah.
That's an awesome story. So for those who don't know, what is triple net?
So triple net is a type of commercial real estate lease where the tenants are responsible for the three nets of the property. So they've got their base rent, but then the three nets are common area maintenance, property taxes, and building insurance. So most retail buildings, you know, Starbucks, shopping centers, things like that, they're on triple net or absolute net leases where the landlord is not responsible for the operating expenses of the property. The tenants actually pay their pro rata share. So you can, you don't have to worry about property tax increases or the insurance going up. The tenants bear those expenses. So, you know, they're relatively easy to manage, and you can handle them from pretty much anywhere in the country. So we've got investors from California to Canada to Florida that we work with on placing capital into these types of investments, because they can truly be a passive real estate investment strategy and mailbox money. So, you know, just like that one client, I mean, he travels the country. He just checks his bank account.
Nice. I love it. I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How do they begin that journey with you?
Absolutely. So best way to get in touch with me is on Instagram. I'm at Commercial in Nashville. And we've got close to probably 300 videos on YouTube now on how to invest in commercial real estate. So just look me up at Tyler Cobble.
Nice. I love it. I love it. I love it. So you mentioned, but I get to ask you anyways, at what point in life did you know you're special, kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Gosh, probably when I was like 15, you know, I mean, I was just always trying to do something to make some side money. I mean, when I'll never forget this. This is probably a great story. So when I was probably 8 or 10 years old, my grandfather had started his own construction company in 1972. And so he was a very big promoter of entrepreneurship. And so when I was a kid, he always told me, you know, you've got to find something to do on your own. Go start your own thing. So I was probably 8 or 10 years old. And I remember him getting me to log in to the Tennessee Secretary of State website, go through the formulation of an LLC so that I would know what it was. And, you know, of course he had to, I did not understand what an LLC was at all. It took me so long to kind of grasp that. But he had me put together basically a business plan for a pressure washing business that I would be doing for the summer. And so that to me probably is what set the bug of like, okay, I could do this. I got to go do my own thing.
That has got to be one of the most elaborate 8-year-old business ventures I think I've heard people answer on that one.
Oh yeah. My business plan had like clip art of a power washer on it. It was probably terrible. I wish I still had it.
Awesome. It's adorable. Yeah. I love it. I love it. You've been absolutely amazing, Ty. Thank you. And any last words for our peeps?
No, I think, the biggest thing that held me back for the longest time, I probably could have gone and started my own business sooner, was just the fear of the unknown. And, take the leap, just go ahead and do it. It's so worth it. Cause everything kind of falls on you. So it's just, how hard are you willing to hustle to make it work?
Love it. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Peeps, thank you for being here today. This is Michelle Nedelec. Be sure to subscribe to the show, share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow. Thank you for listening to 7 to 8. If you're interested in upping your speaking game, be sure to connect with our guests with the links in the show notes and connect with me to see how we can help you get your tech done for you and help your speaking dreams come true.